Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 is where we're going to begin. My daughter's little girl, Adeline, 1 year old in this picture, but 2 years old now, has three older brothers. And she loves to do everything that they do. Anything you can do, I can do better. If they're climbing, she's climbing. If they're running, she's running. If she falls down, skins her knee, don't go baby her. She's up and running and after them all over again. She's going to catch them. She's going to pass them. She's going to show them what for. When my daughter Kayla was that age, she used to say, "I know Tiny." If we go into a restaurant and we would order a kid's meal, she'd say, "I don't want a kid's meal. I know Tiny. I know Tiny." If you ever wanted to get under Kayla's skin, all you had to do was say, "You a Tiny." Ooh, but watch out for the wrath of Kayla. You matter. You count. You know Tiny. In today's text, Paul brings the plans of God to bear right down on our shoulders. Did you know it all? We always say, it's not all about you. Well, today I'm going to tell you it's all about you. God has a special idea in mind, and it all starts with you in your life. It will start a chain of reactions that will change the world. And God is challenging us today to go ahead and run after our bigger brothers and sisters in the faith. What we read about David and what he experienced, what Paul and Peter and others went through, we can follow in their footsteps and expect that God will meet us like God met them. You were born to be great in God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul writes, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." Father, once again, it's sort of like we took out the Kool-Aid packet and we poured that powder. We just read your scripture. It's powder right now. Help us to add the water so that it becomes full. It fills us up completely. It becomes delicious to us. When we get this concentrate, it's hard to sort it all out and to think about it in its full context. But help us now, Lord, to dilute it and to be able to drink it and to absorb every drop of it. This is a tremendous block of scripture. And we don't want to miss any of it today. May it transform our lives. May it do that surgery the Bible talks of. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Let it work in us today, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul writes, for this reason, this is why I'm praying. Well, for what reason? We've got to go back a couple of weeks to an earlier text in Ephesians where he said his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So for this reason, I'm praying. The reason that we are on display in front of rulers and authorities in heavenly realms. This is our time on the mat, in the arena. I used to wrestle when I was in high school, and before it was our turn to get out on the mat, we would all huddle up. And whoever was next out on the mat, everybody would be jostling him and punching him a little bit and mussing up his hair, you know, and roaring, and they run out there onto the mat. Boom, boom, boom. You're all full of faith and vigor and all of that. And then you look at the kid across. Oh, he's got muscles. But anyway, it's our time out on the mat. And so for this reason, Paul said, I know that it's your time in the arena. For that reason, I kneel, because you're on display in front of all these heavenly beings. And you're not on display, not necessarily because you're so wise and you're so this and you're so, not actually quite the opposite. It's more like you're asking Pee-wee Herman to go do sumo wrestling. The authorities in heaven are looking at us and saying, oh boy, what was God thinking? What is he thinking that he's going to do anything with these people? What can come of any of this? And God is saying, just watch. The Lord is a little bit like a lion tamer who trains his lion so you can put your head right in the jaws of that thing. That's unusual. I would encourage you, if you ever go to the zoo, don't try this. It's unusual. And God is doing unusual things in his people. Like having that big elephant kneel down so you can crawl up on it. Or even having a squirrel eat right out of your hands. It's not ordinary. Now, in heaven, holy things are holy and they're acting all righteous and everything. It's got a great atmosphere in heaven, and it's all good. But when you can train human beings to act holy, you've really done something. And as these celestial beings have watched us get angry and lose our temper and mess up over here and blow it over there, and God says, well, just wait. I'm not done yet. Keep watching, keep watching. Oh, no, not that one. He's a real screw up. He'll never make anything out of his life. Oh, yeah? Just watch this. It's a little bit like training your alligator to fetch your slippers. Now, even when a dog does it, it's really cute. But could you imagine getting your alligator to do something like that? I don't know if you want to keep your feet on the floor when he brings the slippers by, but training things to do what is not ordinary. Paul wants us to look good, to perform well, so that God receives great praise. For this reason, I kneel down and pray, because you're in the arena right now. Have you ever been amazed at the twists and turns that life takes? I mean, you ever say, what's next? You ever think, how in the world did this happen? One of my favorite sayings is, life's a hoot. You think everything's going well, and then the phone rings. And there can just be a domino effect that takes place in your life. And Paul wants us to do well. No 2 days are alike. You ever make your list in the morning, and you look at it in the evening, and everything went exactly as you decided you wanted it to go? That doesn't happen. Jesus promised us sufficient trouble for each day. Have you had sufficient trouble this week? You had enough? Things happened that you weren't expecting to happen, but God kept showing up and you made it. We start a brand new week today. And just a few more weary days and then we'll fly away. But God wants us to look good so that God looks even better. So if I brought my dog in and showed you, I trained her to fetch the newspaper and she fetched the newspaper, you'd be pretty impressed by that. But again, if I brought that alligator back and I had the alligator fetch the newspaper, you'd say, wow, that's not even possible. How'd you do that? But if I then had the dog and the alligator sing the hallelujah chorus for you, you'd be going, whoa, this is insane. Put that on steroids and you've got what God is doing in people like us in front of all those powers and glory. God is saying, I can do something with these people, and the authorities are saying, not with those losers. There's no way you can. No, watch this. We're amazing, aren't we? I went to play racquetball yesterday morning, 6 o'clock at the Y. First guy showed up, he sits down, he's like, I forgot my shoes, he said. So he leaves. 10 minutes later, he came back. He said, I forgot to take my keys with me so I could get in my car to go get my shoes. I'm just glad it was him and not me. Anybody else live in that neighborhood? You're capable. And so you can understand why the celestial beings are saying, there ain't no way anything good is going to come out of these boneheads that you've got lined up here. But Paul says, no. He says, watch this. Now, every ringmaster has props in order to help the animals that they've been training do extraordinary things, like this flaming fire for the lion. Not only did he put his face in the lion's mouth, now he's going to make the lion jump through a flaming hoop. Just watch this. So the props are really good in displaying abilities that are not natural or normal. The things that happen in your life are the props that God takes us through. I know when we get saved and we get born again, we come to God, we're hoping for a peaceful, prosperous, calm life. Amen? How many have found that to be your experience? No, God brings out these props. How about little props, God? Okay, I got to jump through the hoop. Okay, so we learn to jump through the hoop. Next thing you know, the hoop's on fire. Lord, what are you thinking? I thought if I got through the hoop, you know, time for to retire, things would get easier. And now I'm jumping through hoops with fire on them. And then the hoop gets smaller. You know, and the flames get bigger. What are you doing? Well, he told us what he's doing. He's showing off his power through us in front of an audience, a celestial audience. And he promised us, I'll never give you more than you can handle. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You're never alone in all. You can do it. In Christ, you can do all things. We ought to start believing what he's been talking about. So verses 16 and 17. I pray, here's what he's praying. For this reason, I pray. You're on display here. So I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So he's going to make you jump through a hoop, or he's going to have you jump through a hoop. You're going to need certain equipment in order to be able to do that. You're going to have better jumping ability. We don't think we have great jumping ability, but if he's calling us to do this, he's going to make us able to do it. Well, Lord, I've never done anything like that. I've never faced something like that. I don't want to face anything like that. It's all right. You can do this. It's almost like getting your kindergartner on the bus the first day of kindergarten. Now, I know you've never been there before, but it's going to be all right. You are ready for this. You're going to be able to do this. So God, out of his treasure trove of props, he positions, he anoints, he prepares each one of us. He says, Christian, you're going off to college now, and I know you might be in consternation about this, but you're going to do this, you know. And Ray, I got you all ready for this week. Oh boy, you're going to be surprised. I'll tell you what, you're going to get to work on too. Ooh, I got a doozy. Well, I got you ready. I knew you needed a little extra of this, and Steve, you know, when you go to work tonight, boy, but you're ready. Don't worry about it. I got you ready. And so he's getting us all prepared for whatever the next hoop or adventure or trapeze act that we're going to be going through. And suddenly, you feel this surge of power. You are flush with renewed strength so that Christ might dwell in you richly. See, you don't need more of you. You need more of Christ. And he's praying for us that we would be strengthened in the inner man, that we would have more of Jesus in us. And you're going to need a lot of Jesus this week. Now, you might be sitting in church on Sunday morning, and you're thinking, oh, it's going to be a good week, and everything's going to be fine. You need more Jesus. Get as much, drink it all in right now. Come in like a sponge. Get as much of the Lord's presence as you possibly can, because trust me, you're going to need it before the week is out. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. This is our source of strength. Christ in. Try to do this week without him. It's going to be a hard, long, sad week. But Christ in you. You'll be an overcomer of every obstacle that comes your way. And Christ through us. You know, you and I, we get mystified at many natural wonders. We go see the seven wonders of the world. We take a trip to Mount Rushmore. We see the, you know, this and the that. And sunrises and sunsets, we go, ooh and ah. Did you see the giant strawberry moon this week? beautiful full moon, just gorgeous and in the sky, and wow. The celestial beings, that means nothing to them. What really fascinates them is what's going on in our lives and how we're handling all of this. So Paul said, I pray that you'd be strengthened, that Christ might dwell in your heart richly, so that you are energized to do these things that are coming into your life. I don't know if you've ever had an MRI. They have MRIs, and then they have MRIs with contrast. And when you have the contrast one, they either make you drink this chalky stuff, or they shoot it right into your veins, so that next time they take the picture, your insides glow. Christ in you causes you to glow. And there's a contrast between who you are and what you're able to do, and who Christ is and what he's able to do through you. And you want with contrast. You want God working through you so that you can be an overcomer. So he says, I pray you be strengthened so that you can get the chalky stuff in you, so that you can get Christ in you, and you can glow through all of this. And the more we allow Christ in, the stronger we become. Our faith is being built up. Strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. This doesn't happen by accident. Through faith. The more you exercise your faith, the stronger you become, the more of an overcomer in life you are. And you begin to learn the promises, begin to believe the promises, begin to recite them in times of battle, use them like a weapon. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Whereas in our natural person, we're saying, I can't take this anymore. I don't know how long. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's your financial plan. God's going to take care of me. No weapon formed against me can prosper. He will never leave me nor forsake me. If I could put it another way, I know Tiny. Devil, you mess with me, you're going to find out, because I know Tiny. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ my Lord. Now, you'll go through these periods in a week's time where, I just stink and I do everything wrong and I forget this and I... Shut up! That's the enemy talking. You need to silence that voice. You need to get it out of there, and you need to fill your heart with the scripture, with the word of God, that you'd be strengthened in your inner man, fill up with Christ, and then go get him. You are an overcomer in Jesus Christ. His promises aren't just for everyone else, they're for you. Christ in you is holiness, righteousness, salvation, power. So Paul goes on with another request. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God. Christ in you, rooted and grounded in love. You've got love oozing out of every pore of your being, connected to all the other beliefs. So catch this. So we're talking about being strengthened in your inner man, Christ in you, you're doing all. And now we're connecting you not only with God, but with other believers. You're not just one bulb. You're connected to other bulbs. We become together like a city lit up, ready to celebrate Christmas. So the celestial beings are watching, and each one of us is fascinating in our own little world in the battles that we're facing. But all of us together, we light up the whole sky. And it's almost like the celestial beings got to shield their eyes a little bit. Whoa! What are you doing here? All these Christians together, letting Christ dwell in them, it becomes absolutely glorious. Now, you'll understand how magnificent this is when you consider how difficult it is for any two people on earth to get along very well. Pick any two you want to. You can pick your own partner, the best one you can find. And you have those moments, don't you? Your own kids. Oh, you love, you die for them. The moments you don't feel like killing them yourself, but when God starts to dwell in humans, when humans begin to really love one another, get past all the junk and work through all of the obstacles and so on, there is an energy, there is a love, there it is expanded, and it speaks volumes of the glory and the majesty of our God. You get angry, but then you forgive. You were mad at them, but now you love them more than you did before. That's the work of the Holy Spirit through us. We are forgiving and we are forbearing and we are apologizing. We are becoming more humble ourselves rather than more prideful. Isn't it kind of cute? The humbler we get, the greater we glow in the glory of God. And so we light up the sky on behalf of God's glory for and in us. You, an active Christian, Christ dwelling within you through faith, and you're connected with other believers of like precious, like what we witnessed here during worship this morning. It started out good and then it got better. As our hearts united and we loved on the Lord and we loved on one another in this place. And together we experience how wide and long and deep is the love of God. What does the love of God do? Well, it casts out all fear. All that anxiety is gone. What you were worried about when you came in, you don't have to carry that home with you. God's got this. He's equipping you right now for whatever you're going to face this week. If you were worried about an appointment you have on Tuesday, don't worry anymore. He's got it all under control. He's going before you. He's got it worked out. You will be ready. And this is a dimension we cannot experience on our own. It requires others in the faith. A lot of people have dropped out of church. The largest growing faith group in America are called nuns. Not N-U-N-S, but N-O-N-E-S. They've stopped altogether. They've stopped believing. They've stopped church. They've stopped what? They're nuns. They've got no faith at all, no religion whatsoever. Next in line are a lot of people who still profess Christ as their Savior, but they're done with the rest of us. They've had enough of us. They're sick of us. They can't get along with us. We said something out of line, or we took their parking place, or what have you. None of us is perfect. We've all offended somebody a time or two, and some people are just done. When you drop out of the body, you drop out of this drama, this collective glow for God. The fact that I irritate you is a work of God. And if I might say so, I do it very well. And we irritate one another. We're just people. But the love of God overcomes that. And I love you anyway, and you love me anyway. And we get past it, and we get over it. We end up loving each other even more, and the devil's kicking himself, and say, "Ah, I thought I had him there." But when we love each other the way that we should, we get past those things. We keep on working. There isn't a worker in this church, there isn't anybody in this church that isn't involved, that hasn't been through the grinder, stayed up all night and gave every last penny they had and worked on it overtime. And then the next thing they heard was a complaint, or they were accused of just doing it. Oh, you're just full of pride, or you just do it because of this. Thanks. And that's why, you see, but that's the devil. And so many of us are so easily beset. We're so easily taken out of the track because, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but again, it's them. It's not us. It's the evil powers. But when we overcome that, we're going to love each other no matter what. Did you hear what they said? Yes, I did. What are you going to do about it? I'm going to love them more. I'm going to pray for them. Well, I'm praying for them too, but it's got something to do with a fireball falling from heaven. No. Note the progression. Strengthened in our inner being, rooted and established in love, linked together with one another. Wow. I know we've all been tempted to leave that last one out. Lord, I love you. Lord, I want more of you. Lord, I can't stand the rest of the crowd. Get me out of here. No. Number one and number two show their greatest effect in number three. When the celestial beings see human beings loving one another, caring for one another, carrying each other's burdens, genuinely caring, forgiving, forbearing, that oohs and ahs them like nothing your alligator can do. Slippers, newspaper, nothing. That's awesome stuff. And none of it happens until we desire for it to happen. Till we step back and say, that's what I want. Now, you can get all bedazzled with the trinkets of this world and run after more and try to get, you know, money, fame, whatever. It's going to be very disappointing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Go after that. And everything else falls in line the way it should. I know life gets hard. We drift. We get tired. We get distracted. God can refill your tank like that. God can, like that, bring you back to life again. Oh, but I'm so busy. I'm so this. I'm so that. Get your eyes off of that and onto Jesus. He will refill you. You will glow like never before. I can't tell you how often it's happened in my life. There are reasons why I get tired, why my batteries are run down, and so on and so forth. And there are things I try to do to recharge those batteries that come with complications all their own. But Jesus can do in a moment what no other power or source can do. Amen. You're here this morning. God bless you. I don't know what battle you might have gone through on your way in. Talked to one lady way in, spilled her nail polish all over the. I said, I hate when that happens. And you know, but it's a Sunday morning, and so things happen. But you're here now. He is here, moving in our midst, and that makes all the difference in the world. And you're going to be refreshed. And you're going to be renewed. And you're going to be empowered. Because you are here with His Spirit and the people of like precious faith. And there's nothing else like it in all the world. You could have done this and you could have done that. You could have done the other. But you chose right today. And God is going to use these moments to change your week, to change your life, and to change our world. As we dwell together with Him, He's going to light you up. It's one thing to be a light, but it's another thing to be a part of a company of lights that light up the night sky. In Hanover, every fall, flocks of birds come through. I think they're starlings. And they do these aerial acrobatic acts. Thousands of birds all at once will make a sharp left and then a sharp right. They'll dive and then they'll go up, just all in unison. No stragglers at all. Just, Now, to see one bird do something like that, it isn't even noticeable. But when the skies fill with thousands, for me, it's proof of God. Who trained those birds to do that? And yet they do. So beautifully and so in such harmony. When God can do that with us. Now, I was just thinking about it this morning. Ray mentioned it about giving. We tithe. We tithe. I don't want to be stupid about this, but In the flesh, you don't get your money's worth when you tithe to the church. Why do we tithe? Because we get heaven's worth when we put God first. You know, you could say, well, you know, I paid my tithe. I think we should sing these songs, not those songs. I paid my tithe. I think I should have a better seat. I paid my tithe. You know, these seats are getting kind of old. Can't we get some cushy ones? You know, I paid my tithe and no. I give my tithe because I honor my God, because he is worthy of so much more. And he gives so much more in return. When believers move together to accomplish kingdom work, it's more profound than a sky full of birds flying together. Hospitals get built, villages get clean water, disaster victims are restored, orphans are raised in clean, loving homes. Flea markets have people to pray for them. People down on their luck have someone to help them get back up again. Drug addicts have a power-filled program they can go to. When the people of God get past themselves and their pettiness and their littleness, and they fill with the Spirit of God, and they love one another, and they link arms together, they change the world. Don't be a dimwit. By faith, embrace Christ and his promises, love and serve others. Jesus is the light of the world, and we were created to house that light and shine for him. You know, Tiny, you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the next time the devil comes pressing in, the next time you feel like garbage, the next time you feel like you failed, the next time you feel like you don't belong here, square your shoulders and let the devil hear, I know Tiny. I am more than a conqueror through Christ my Lord. Can you say that along with me? I know Tiny. I know Tiny. That sounded tiny to me. I know Tiny. Amen. Stand with me if you would.